We know how important it is to be prepared, especially at this time of year. It's the reason why we keep winter clothes in our vehicle, and it's the reason why we try to keep the gas tank filled as much as we can, so that in the event that we become stranded, we'll be able to survive until help comes. And of course, we know how important it is to be ready at other times of year, too. It's the reason why we keep jumper cables and tow ropes and tools on hand, so that no matter what happens, we will be ready when it comes. Jesus, in our reading for today, also calls for us to be prepared. But he's not calling for us to be prepared for what might happen. Jesus is calling for us to be prepared for his coming, something that will surely come. Jesus was first, of course, talking about the coming destruction of Jerusalem to his disciples, when the Romans would come and capture the city and tear it down to the ground. But what Jesus says in our reading applies to more than just the city of Jerusalem. The destruction of the city was but a foretaste, because we are looking forward to the great day when Jesus will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. We must be ready for that day, Christians, especially because no one knows when it will be. Because that day, Christians, will come suddenly, and the moments just before the end will seem like any other. If it happens in the morning, people will be getting up out of bed. If it happens in the middle of the day, people will be working or sitting down for lunch. If it happens in the evening, people will be getting ready for bed. And if it happens at night, people will be sleeping. And then the trumpet will blow, and the end will come, without warning, just like that. All will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to face their eternal destiny. It will be just like the days of Noah, Jesus says, in the days just before the flood. People were eating and people were drinking and people were marrying, living as they had always done, even as they ignored the warnings of Noah. And then Noah entered the ark, and the flood swept them all away. And it will be just like the days of Lot, Jesus says, when the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were eating and drinking and planting and building, living as they had always done, even as they walked contrary to God's ways, until the day when Lot left the city and fire and sulfur destroyed them all. So will it be in the days of the Son of Man, Jesus says. Judgment will fall swiftly. Christ will return like lightning, and the world will end in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And if we are not prepared, we will be swept away along with the rest of the world. So what then does it look like to be prepared? Well, Jesus tells us in our reading, verse 31, "On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back." Now remember, Jesus is talking, first of all, about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, when the Romans would surround the city, trapping everyone inside, which is exactly what happened. So on that day, Jesus says, there will be a need for speed. There will be no time to go downstairs to get anything out of the house. There will be no time to return home from the field. When the time comes, they must leave immediately. Any hesitation, any holding back, would mean getting trapped in the city and destroyed right along with it. It's why Jesus says in other places, pray that it doesn't happen in winter. And woe to those who are nursing in those days, because they will be slowed down. Being prepared means being ready to go at a moment's notice. We need to leave right now. Now, of course, all of that makes perfect sense when we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. You need to be ready to go so you're not trapped in the city. But what would this mean when it comes to talking about the end of all things? Because it's not like we're going to have any warning when that comes. And besides, where would we go? All things will come to an end on that day. It's not like we can escape it, just go to some other part of the world. How should we understand what Jesus says here when we're talking about his second coming? Well, think of it this way. What would make us hesitate on the last day? What would hold us back? Well, an attachment to the things of this world. When we put all of our cares and concerns and worries in the things of this world rather than in God. Because if we were to do that, Christians, when the end comes, and it certainly will come, then our concern would be all about them. We would be running back to go get them, so to speak, when Jesus appears, as if they were the most important thing of all. So being ready then for the end means being ready to let it all go, to not run back to get our coat, so to speak, when our master appears. Take money as an example. Money is a good thing to have. Money is important in this life. I mean, it's the means by which we get everything that we need. But what good will it be at the end of the world? What would you do with it? I mean, you don't need it in glory, and you certainly can't give it to God. Money will be nothing at all. So why should we fret over it? Why should we think that making money or having money is the most important thing of all? Being too attached to it will hurt us in the end. Or think about our possessions. What we have are certainly good things, and God blesses us with everything that we do need. But as Paul says, you can't take them with you. And someday they won't even be yours. So are we ready to simply let them go, to see them as things which ultimately do not matter, so that when Christ returns, we will leave them behind without even a second thought? That's what it means to be ready, Christians, to not be attached to this world. Now, I know that that's hard. Sin doesn't want to let go. Our misplaced desires make it hard to turn away. I mean, like children squabbling over toys, I don't really care about the toy. I care that it's mine. But holding on to things like this on the day when Christ returns will be like going downstairs to get your things, only to be trapped in the judgment and destroyed along with the rest of the world. I mean, think of it this way. Jesus tells us that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. All of the stuff around us, all of this physical stuff, will be gone. It will be destroyed, burned up by divine fire. And for us to hold on to them, to refuse to let them go, means that we will be destroyed right along with them. They ultimately do not matter. Are they worth the price of your soul? And besides, Christians, what waits for us is far greater. So much so that it can't even compare. Eye has not seen nor has ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Whatever we lose, whatever we have to leave behind, on that day it will be like gaining back 100-fold with something far better than what we have lost. Because we will be with God, where there will be no more crying or pain or suffering or death. And we will see him face to face. What could possibly be greater than that. So how then do we avoid becoming too attached to the things of this world so that we are ready for that day? We do it by looking to Jesus Christ, by holding on to him as our dearest treasure, by placing him far above all other things, doing everything in him and everything for him, giving thanks for all that he has done, and living each day in him, even using the things which we have in his service. The one whose treasure is in heaven will not be attached to the things of this world. Because when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, Christians, we will no longer care about all the sparkly things of this world. Because compared to Jesus, they will seem like trash. Let us lay hold of him so that we can truly say, "What is the world to me?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are so often attracted to the baubles and the junk of this world. Cleanse our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may seek after you as the true treasure above all things and be prepared for the coming of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.